started. It's 1 o'clock. We have a full agenda. We have a full agenda, so we need to get started so we can get through everything that we have to do. First, make sure you turn off your cell phones or put them on vibrate so we don't hear the little noises going on. And, Martha, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Mayfield?
Here.
Representative Albritton?
Here.
Representative Castor Dentel?
Here.
Cummings?
Here.
Dudley?
Here.
Eagle?
Here.
Gibbons?
Here.
LaRosa? Robertson?
Here.
Roussan?
Excused.
Stafford?
Here.
Stuby?
Here.
Trujillo?
Okay, thank you, Martha. Okay, first we're going to start with Representative Artillis, and he has a House Bill 623. And Representative Artillis, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. This bill modernizes antiquated prohibition-era limits on wine container sizes in Florida. The bill increases from 1 gallon to 6 gallon containers. Currently, 48 states allow the wine canisters, except for Utah and Florida. In 2012, Texas, Pennsylvania updated their laws to allow wine canisters, being one of the 48. This bill utilizes the three-tier system and therefore does not violate, modify, or bypass the current three-tier system. I'm also happy to report that over in the Senate, about over an hour ago, it passed unanimously 10-0 its companion. So with that said, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Artillis. Okay, members, is there any questions of Representative Artillis on his bill? Any questions? Okay. We have members in the audience. Any questions?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Gibbons.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're quite welcome.
I just made it under the wire. Representative Artillis, do you think this will facilitate the pouring of wine into milk jugs or other containers at convenience or grocery stores?
Representative Artillis.
Madam Chair. To answer your question, I do not believe that this facilitates that. This is very specific to wine canister or kegged wine. While I do understand that there's other people who are interested in other legislation that mimics growlers and beer and so on and so forth, this has nothing to do with that. They have their opinion, but the reality is that we're just raising from 1 gallon to 6 gallon to facilitate wine canister and keg wine here in the state of Florida.
Madam Chair.
Is there a follow-up, Representative
yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
Go ahead with a follow-up.
Is there any magic to the 6 gallons as opposed to 4 gallons or 5 gallons? How do you come up with 6 gallons?
Madam Chair. The actual wine keg is 5.16. We just rounded up. However, I'm willing to work with every stakeholder and to adjust whatever numbers have to be adjusted to make sure that this moves forward. Again, we want to do what's fair for all industries and all distributors and not open a door to bypass the three-tier system.
Follow-up? Yes, sir.
As in other industries in the manufacturing, distribution, retail level or dealer level, there are lines of distribution that are set, i.e. in the computer business, you start off as a manufacturer who sells to a distributor, who may sell to a dealer, who may sell to a retailer, who then may sell to an end user. What I'm trying to get clear is that we're not destroying the distribution system that is in place, to where we're adding another level of distribution that would intercede or into the established distribution network. In other words, we're not creating a new cottage industry of people who are entrepreneurs who see an opportunity to short-circuit the normal system of distribution.
Representative Artillis, you can respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The whole purpose, and I said it in the beginning, which is we are following the three-tier system, which is the separation of manufacturing, distribution, and retail. So we're not bypassing it. We're not modifying it. We're actually using it. And I understand your concern because there's other bills that have that problem. But this bill, thankfully, does not.
Thank you.
Satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Representative Dudley.
Thank you. Representative Artillis, aren't you effectively causing another point of distribution if you have these 6 gallon containers that, say, over here at FSU's, it's not the school's beer barn, but Mike's Beer Barn sells, you can buy a gallon of beer. So what's going to stop anybody from walking up and getting these big 6 gallon, if they want to buy 6 gallons worth of wine on the street right near the campus? There's no prohibition in this law that you, the proposed legislation that would stop anything like that, right?
Representative Artillis, you can respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wine canisters are never sold directly to consumers, and what you're discussing again is what we started with, which is the difference between beer and wine. This is specifically about wine.
Just follow up, please.
Representative Dudley.
There's no, thank you, Madam Chair. There's no prohibition, though. If I want to walk up with a 3-gallon jug to a distributor who's selling wine, let's say it's Mike's Beer Barn that has these 6-gallon canisters, I could get, if I have a container, 3-gallon container, I could have that filled at Mike's Beer Barn. There's no prohibition for that, correct?
Yes. Respond, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I've actually called all the members on this panel, and any question, I requested for any question to be sent to me. This is the first time I've heard of this. However, the purpose of this wine is to increase from 1 to 5.16 or 6 gallons right now as written, and that is specifically for wine. It does not speak about the actual beer, which again is the fourth reference in this committee, again. This is specifically with wine. To answer your question directly, this does not talk about beer, so it has nothing to do with your question.
Maybe, Madam Speaker.
Another follow-up, yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm asking you about wine. I was just using beer as an example because it's Mike's, I think it's Beer Barn, but anyway. But I think he does sell other things. And if you can get a gallon of beer there, then maybe Mike would accommodate and sell and buy the containers, the canisters of wine, and then be able to sell, you know, some students want to buy a couple gallons of wine, just right over there and do that.
Okay. Madam Chair,
yes,
to answer your question directly, the wine canisters are sold through the 3-tier system. So if a retailer is going to sell it, it has to buy from the distributor. The distributor has to buy from the manufacturer. It's still within the 3-tier system that we currently have in Florida. We're not bypassing, modifying, or doing anything with the 3-tier system. So to answer your question, if a retailer wants to sell the canistered wine, they can sell the canistered wine. But right now, there's not a direct, there's no direct link right now between the manufacturer and the end user because it's not allowed in the current 3-tier system that we are abiding by.
Okay.
Final question, Madam Chair.
As long as it's something different.
It's just brief and short.
Okay.
So there is no prohibition if, let's say, Mike's Beer Barn is getting these canisters. You could walk up, presumably under this bill, there's no prohibition to have a, you know, double gallon, triple gallon container of wine bought because he's a retailer and that's who you're selling the canisters to, right?
If you want to respond, you can, but I think you've responded.
Madam Chair, it's been asked and answered.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions, members? Okay, now we're going to go to the audience, and we have three people that want to speak. Slater Bylas with Free Flow Wine. You are a proponent. Would you like to speak?
I would love to.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Members, Slater Bylas, for the record, I appear to you before you today on behalf of Free Flow Wines. Free Flow is a small business started by a couple guys in their garage, a couple of entrepreneurs, and they had a dream. What they wanted to do was they wanted to allow consumers throughout the country to go to a restaurant, and rather than buying a nice bottle of wine, to be able to buy a nice glass of that same wine. And they've been remarkably successful in 48 other states. What they'd love to be able to do is to give the consumers of Florida the choice to go to a restaurant and buy a glass of wine from a tap. That's what's at issue here. And they do that through innovative manufacturing methods and using equipment that is actually manufactured right down the road in Brooksville, Florida. This bill is really nothing more than a consumer choice bill, and it does nothing more, as Representative Artillis said, update our statutes to be a little more consistent with what 48 other states are currently doing. And if I might, Madam Chair.
Yes, you may.
Like to take a moment to prospectively maybe elaborate on Representative Artillis' answer to Representative Dudley's question.
Yes, you may.
It's my understanding, and staff may correct me here, but in Florida there are different types of licenses for package and retail. And under current Florida law, whether if a consumer went into a store, I think the example was Mike's Beer Barn, they could not leave that premise with a container that was not factory sealed.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Mitch Rubin, and he is with the Florida Beer Wholesale Association, and he is information only.
Yes, ma'am. Let me help Representative Artilles out a bit, because these questions are somewhat being driven by our association and our lobbying of the members of the committee. Where we're having what I consider the failure to communicate is that we keep talking about the three-tier system. I think Representative Artilles is completely right. This bill does nothing to the three-tier system. What this bill does, and it's not really the purpose of the bill, is it authorizes a large size, which will facilitate that which has never been able to functionally be facilitated, which is the filling of smaller containers, as Representative Dudley is trying to say, where the law is unclear that these containers have to be sealed before, that is, factory sealed. So there are references to beer that come up either by analogy or because there's obviously another bill dealing with those containers. The issue here is not the container or the size, just like it is not there. The issue is the underlying law that deals with the definition of sealed, on-premise versus off-premise versus packaged sales. And so what we're trying to do is make the committee aware that this is an issue strictly as to wine, that businesses will take these canisters and use them to fill other containers in ways that perhaps you don't realize in the future. Now, the proponents of the bill are for using them at restaurants and bars, and we may distribute them if you authorize them, but it doesn't deal with the licensing issue and the refill issue. So I hope I've clarified it, and I beg your indulgence, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rubin. Any questions? Representative Gibbons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do your members currently sell wine?
Yes, they do.
Might they sell these canisters if the bill passes?
Mr. Rubin, you may respond.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Okay.
I believe that if the opportunity made itself available, that we would sell the canisters.
Thank you.
That's fine. Any other questions? Okay, Representative Eagle.
Thank you. Is it legal under any other existing law for a business or restaurant to refill a canister with any type of alcohol?
Mr. Rubin?
See, that's the problem, is we believe that the statutes say that you cannot, and yet the practice is going on, mostly in the area of beer. The agency is not stopping it, and therefore, by implication, it's lawful. And if it's lawful for one type of alcohol, then it's lawful for another, because it's the same license types and definition of sealed.
Follow up, yes, sir.
So it is already legal under existing law. It's a matter of enforcement.
No, I wouldn't. That's the problem. Is I would. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're okay. Okay.
I wouldn't say it is legal. I would say that it's in doubt. It needs clarification. I think that the division would admit that. They're sort of in doubt as well, and that is part of the problem.
Any other questions? Members, are we good? Okay, thank you, Mr. Rubin.
Sure.
Next, we will have Richard Turner. He is a proponent, and he is with Florida Restaurant Lounging and Associations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is very quick. This is really a great bill, and I'll tell you why. It really does only one thing. It provides an opportunity for customers to buy wine a different size, strictly just going from 1 to 6 gallons. It doesn't mandate anyone do anything. It just provides the ability, because this is alcoholic beverages, for them to be able to purchase and sell in a larger size container. And the restaurants, we represent over 10,000 restaurants and hotels. We're very excited and support this bill enthusiastically.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah. Yes, sir. Representative Gibbons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Huh? Would this increase your profits on wine if that is done this way?
Certainly hope so.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Turner. We also have Will McKinley. He is a proponent. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak before we move on to debate? Okay. Members, anyone would like to debate the bill? Any debate? Representative Gibbons.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There seems to be still some not, it's not as clear as I'd like it, as I'd like it to be. And when I say as clear as I'd like it to be is, I would wonder in the process, would then somebody, are there any kind of containers that are specified that if in fact you bought this 6-gallon jug of wine and you put it in another container to go somewhere else, are there any kind of specifications for the kinds of containers you could put them in? Could you put them, what could you put them in that would be acceptable? I think that we're looking at open container laws with police. I think that we have a problem in some underserved neighborhoods where we have people that open packages of cigarettes and sell single cigarettes. It's gotten down, and that's a real problem in some neighborhoods. And so I think that we need to be cautious when looking at changing laws where we're offering an opportunity to sell things where we don't specify the increments in which you can sell them. I mean, right now, wine comes in different size bottles. They come in 1.5 liter. They come in, they come in different size. And those are specified and authorized in their price points and advantages to doing it that way and not doing it that way. This doesn't specify anything like that at all. This just leaves the whole thing wide open with no specificity as to how it can be sold and what kind of packaging it can be resold in and whether these packages are safe or not safe or whatever. So I have a real question with that. It gives me heartburn because you're just giving a license to take something that's sold in one way and having it be sold another way and not specifying how you sell it. So, I have a problem with that. To me, we need to take a closer look. So at this point in time, I'm going to vote against the bill because I want to see more specificity. And I apologize to the sponsor. He tried to call me. He tried to call me a number of times. He parks next to me. But I run into him. It's my fault that you and I have not communicated to get all this out. But, I have those questions and I need really clarification because I think that anytime we change the law to make something being sold to consumers, I think we need to have it clear as to the kinds of packaging, the kind of containers, and the kind of increments in which it can be sold. So, thank you.
Representative Roberson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Artiles, for a great bill. I'm going to support the bill today, but I would hope that you would maybe work with Mr. Rubin and try to address some of the enforcement issues that he brought up. I just think from the testimony I heard, it's already illegal to walk out of a 7-Eleven or a convenience store with something that's not factory sealed. And maybe we've got an enforcement problem with the department that we maybe need to beef up that. But I'm just going to support the bill today, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Roberson. Anyone else wishing to debate the bill? Okay. I think this is a good bill. Representative Artiles and I have spoken about this bill. I think based on some of the discussion, there may be a little bit more work that needs to be done on it. I know Representative Artiles is a man of his word, and I think if there's things that he feels can make his bill better, he's more than happy to work with any member on this table and in this committee to make that happen, or anyone in the audience. So I will be supporting this bill so that we can move this on over. And just for the record, I like Chianti. So whenever you get your containers done, I expect to have some Chianti in some of the Italian restaurants at least. So with that, you are recognized to close on your bill, Representative Artiles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. And again, I was a little surprised and taken back that Representative Gibbons and Representative Dudley did not communicate with me their concerns, and more importantly, Mr. Rubin that did not even call my office. I am a man that has an open door policy with everyone and everybody. I believe that what they discussed is an enforcement issue. We have laws in the books currently right now that are not being enforced, and I'm willing to work with you and anyone else to narrow this bill to something that everybody feels comfortable. But I did not appreciate the fact that nobody communicated back to me in reference to this bill. However, with that said, I believe this is a good bill. It is a bill in progress. It's the first stop. And again, my door is open to everyone to please call me, and we'll sit down and work it out. With that said, thank you very much, committee, and thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing my bill.
Thank you very much. And Martha, with Representative Artillis closing on this bill, will you please call the roll?
Representative Albritton?
Yes.
Castor Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
No.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
No.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
No.
Stuby?
Yes.
Trujillo? Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And by your votes, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go from wine to condos. We might need wine after the condos, but Representative Maravis, you are recognized to take up committee substitute House Bill 73.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an omnibus condominium bill. It's not the only condominium bill out there. Representative Fitzenhagen is running one as well. And this one, though, removes the requirement for elevators to be retrofitted to meet the certain requirements for the Phase 2 fire safety by 2015. Still would have to retrofit the elevator when you go to fix it or, you know, major improvements, that sort of thing, but removes the artificial deadline, which will save associations some millions of dollars because these are very expensive retrofits. Requires associations to allow members to copy without charge official records using electronic devices. Requires election or recall challenges to be filed within 60 days. This is intended to relieve the division of some sort of unnecessary, protracted reviews of these challenges that occur long after the election has taken place. Provides associations may not suspend delinquent members from using certain common elements basically to provide access to the unit, such as the parking space. Allows board members to serve two-year board terms if provided by the bylaws or articles. Allows boards to install code-compliant doors or other types of hurricane protection. Allows extra time for the completion of planned additional phases to a condominium by a vote of the owners within the association. Provides for the creation of condominium within condominiums, typically within mixed-use developments. Allows the ombudsman or the staff to engage in other professions that don't conflict with their official duties. Increases the annual revenue thresholds related to financial statement preparation, and we do have an amendment regarding the number of units. Removes the requirement that an association member must submit a written request to speak at an association meeting. Increases annual revenue threshold, and otherwise, that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Moraitis. Members, he does have an amendment, but is there any questions that you may have on the bill as it is? Okay, great. We'll move on into the amendment, and that is barcode 102737. You recognize.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment reduces the number of units in an association which are exempt from any financial statement preparation from 75 to 50. We've been working with the CPAs on this. The move to go from 50 to 75 was done about 5 years ago. It's not consistent with the HOA or the co-op statute, so we're bringing it back down to 50. But as I said, we're increasing the financial thresholds when an audit's required, those sorts of things, by $100,000 in each category.
Great. Is there any questions from Representative Moraitis on his amendment? Any questions? Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on the amendment? And we'll get back to the bill as soon as we're done with the amendment. Okay. Great. Is there any members wishing to debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, we will... Representative Moraitis is recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close the amendment.
Great. Thank you. Is there any objections to the amendment? Okay, show the amendment passed. Okay, now we're back on the bill as amended. And is there any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, we have people in the audience that wants to speak. We have Eleni Going. Great, thank you. And she is with the Community Association Leadership. We have Diane Ferguson, also with the Community Advocacy Network. Okay. We have Travis Moore with the Community Association Institute. Okay. And we have Mr. Dunbar. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, is any members wishing to debate on the bill? No debate? Okay, you're recognized to close on your bill, Mr.
Close.
Representative Moraitis. Great, we're waiving. Okay, Martha, call the roll. That was easy.
Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Kester Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
Yes.
Stubbe?
Yes.
Trujillo? Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And members, by your vote, we will show committee substitute House Bill 73 reported favorably. Thank you.
Thank
a
you,
lot
Chair.
Of work on that.
Thank you to your staff as well. Thank you.
You did a great job.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, members, now we're going to take up committee substitute House Bill 175, condos, by Representative Fitzenhagen.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. House Bill 175 is relating to condominiums again. Specifically, this bill is designed to modify the Florida Condominium Act to allow for an acceptable legal description of the condominium units during the pre-sale period. This is so that it would comply with the Federal Interstate Land Disclosure Act. And what it does is it clarifies when the condominium essentially comes into existence. So you can do that by the recording of the declaration of condominium, but we want to have it be allowed to be the filing of a surveyor's certificate or the recording of the first deed to a unit owner, so that there's two ways that the condominium can come into existence, either the sale to unit owner or the surveyor certificate. The bill also would modify how long the developer has to actually complete the project from 7 to 10 years, and that would benefit, if the unit owners agree to that by vote, the ability for the project to be completed and have more units to share in the overall cost of the development. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fitzenhagen. Members, are there any questions of the sponsor? Any questions? Great. You guys are doing great jobs today. We do have people that would like to speak, and we have Mr. Travis Moore again from the Community Association Institute. Thank you very much. And we have Mr. Pete Dunbar. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Members, any debate on the bill? No debate? Okay. You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Waive the close, please.
Good answer. Martha, will you please call the roll?
Representatives Albritton?
Yes.
Kester Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
Yes.
Stubbe?
Yes.
Trujillo? Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And members, by your vote, show committee substitute House Bill 175 reported favorably. Thank you very much. Okay, members, we will now take up House Bill 667 by Representative Porter. And Representative Porter, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, HB 667 will amend Chapter 475 of the statutes to conform the chapter to the provisions promulgated by the Appraisal Subcommittee and the Appraisal Qualifications Board. A lot of this has to do with making sure that we meet the requirements of the Dodd-Frank Act. But there is an amendment to the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Would you like to present the amendment, and then we'll get to questions on the bill as amended?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment clarifies that only certified appraisers can train real estate appraisers, and it clarifies the specific version of the Appraiser Qualification Board that was adopted December 9, 2011.
That's it? Great.
That's
Thank
it.
You. Members, are there any questions of the amendment as presented? Okay. Sorry. Is there any testimony in the audience on the amendment? I have one that's from Don Olson, but is that on the bill? Okay, we'll get back to you then. Okay, members, is there any debate on the amendment? If not, we'll show that amendment accepted favorably. And now we're back on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can explain a little more in depth if you'd like now that we're
passing. Any additional questions, members, on her bill? Any more? Okay, let's move on. And Don Olson, I'm sorry. Point of order was called. Is there any objections to the amendment so we can go forward? I assume none, since no one asked any questions. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Olson. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, members, any debate on the bill as amended? And we'll move on. Okay. You recognize to close.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Martha, may you call the roll.
Representative Zalbritton?
Yes.
Castor Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Yes.
Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And by your vote, they show the bill passed favorably.
Thank you, members, Madam Chair.
Okay. Can we go to the first bill next? Or you want to go to? Okay, we'll go.
Good morning, Ms. Esper.
I was wondering if we could go to. Okay, members, I'm sorry. We're going to hear from House Bill 39 as a by Public Accountancy, and Representative Rollerson is going to present that bill. This was Representative Ford's bill, and he is the primary co-sponsor, so he'll be presenting the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, good afternoon. House Bill 39 provides that the Florida Board of Accountancy increase its authority to disperse funds to the CPA Minority Scholarship Funds from $100,000 to $200,000. Those funds will be, and those scholarships will be awarded twice a year. The other aspect of this bill is that it requires a licensed firm in Florida who performs accounting and auditing services to undergo a peer review as a condition of the biannual firm licensure renewal. And that, Madam Chair, is a summary of the bill.
Thank you. Is there any questions, member of the sponsor? Any questions? Great. We do have Deborah Curry from the audience would like to speak on the bill. Great. Thank you very much. Is there any debate on the bill, members? Any debate? You worked really hard on this bill, and I know it was hard to pick it up, and you did a great job, and I really do appreciate you working with my staff to get it in the order that we that was where we are right now. So
thank
I do
you,
appreciate
Madam
you doing that.
To you as well. We appreciate it.
And you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Great. And Martha, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zalbritton?
Yes.
Castor Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo? Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And by your vote, we will show House Bill 39 reported favorably.
Thank you, members and Madam Chair. Have a good day.
Chairman Hooper, we didn't forget about you. We saved the best for last. So, Chairman Hooper has PCS for House Bill 45 on vehicle permits, and you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, good afternoon. PCS for House Bill 45 simply expands the current law to allow principals listed on a restaurant or other vendor license to be able to pick up alcoholic beverages in their personally owned or leased vehicles. These principals are all over 21 and have been fingerprinted as part of the permitting process. Restaurants in Florida today, under the current Florida law, can pick up wine and other alcoholic beverages from their distributors, but only in a vehicle leased or owned by that restaurant or entity. This simply allows the principal owners, as long as they have approval and pay the fee to the department, to the division, to do it in their own personal owned or leased car. There is no disruption of the Florida three-tier system. That is the chair, or the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions of Representative Hooper on his good bill? Any questions? We have a couple of people from the audience that wants to speak. We have Scott Ashley with Wine Spirits Distributors of Florida.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have in support.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ashley. Mitchell Rubin with the Florida Beer Wholesaler Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, I want to thank Representative Hooper, and I want to thank the lobbyists for this, for the interest in this bill. It was great working with them and with staff. This seemed like a little bill, but it was rather thorny and took a lot of work. And I just want to thank everybody and say that it is a very good bill now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rubin. And we also have Jason Unger with Restaurant Depot. Great. Thank you very much. Okay, members, are there any debate on Representative Hooper's good bill? Any debate? Well, I will comment. He made it look really, really easy, because I will tell you there was a lot of hours and hard work that went in to get this bill to the spot that we needed to get it at. And our staff, and kudos to our staff for working so hard with Representative Hooper to get it there, and it is a great bill. So with that, Martha, would you please call the roll?
You're trying to steal my clothes, Madam
Chair. Oh, I forgot. Would you like to close?
Now I got to say almost ditto to what you said. I would be remiss if I didn't personally say thank you to you and your staff. You did do an incredible amount of work. I'm indebted to you. That was, I know your staff did a lot of stuff to make this bill better. And to hear the entities that got up and say, we support this, that's a long way. So I did not want to leave this room without thanking you and your entire staff for all your work.
Thank you.
With that, I close.
Thank you. With Representative Hooper closing, Martha, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zollbritton?
Yes.
Hester Dentel?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Roberson?
Yes.
Roussan? Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo? Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And by your vote, PCS for House Bill 45 is reported favorably. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. We are going to have meetings next week, members. As you know, this is fast and furious right now as we get going. So just get your sneakers on and be ready, because from now on it's going to be going fast. So with that, with that, we're going to have Representative Albritton moves. We rise without objection. The meeting's adjourned.